Systems work. People fail. Welcome to InsureMark's Advisor Mentorship Podcast with Vice President Jeremy Hauser, where we share proven systems and processes for the 21st century advisor. Today, it's essential that advisors find a way to differentiate themselves from the competition. Learn how to elevate your game and accomplish incredible feats as Jeremy teaches you how to build a more successful and sustainable business while realizing a better work-life balance is not only possible, but achievable.
To date, this year has been one of wait and see, and we're still waiting. Inflation, the Fed, and concerns about economic growth have many investors scratching their heads. So, Jeremy Hauser, how is this impacting your advisors?
Well, it's kind of like a baseball saying of ours, since I played it back in the day, you're playing the ball. Nothing else really matters. It's just you against the ball. So that's really where a lot of advisors are sticking to their plan and process for 2024, hoping and interested to see what Fed rates, interest rates are going to do, looking to see what market volatility looks like. But I know for this year, just really sticking to the process, continuing to hire advisors. This year, we got our first quarter results in not too long ago, and it looks like we're off to a great start. I don't want to, you know, plan out the whole year.
Yeah.
Don't want to jinx it too much, but the good news is, I mean, first quarter this year compared to last quarter for those 15 advisors that are in the AMP advisor mentorship program, they're up over 50% from where they were last quarter at this time. So we're pretty optimistic of this year. A lot of policies that are being issued. So premium's great, but the amount of people that they're actually able to protect when it comes to market volatility, that number is substantially higher. So that is a good thing. So we're off to a good start. And a lot of that has to do with a lot of the efforts last year. There's delayed rewards and what advisors put into the last year, 2 years, 3 years now to really start to reap the benefits. So we're off to a good start, though.
Talk more about these delayed rewards, delayed benefits.
Just sticking to the plan. Like I said, we have a lot of things that happened throughout the year. 2022, going back 2 years ago, there was a lot of market volatility, first time in over 40 years, where both on the equities and the fixed income side, we actually saw some turbulence there. So therefore, advisors just sticking to the script of what their message is, communicating, looking for other ways to communicate with their customers, enhance that relationship when it comes to just not just being in front of them, but making sure that they're able to suffice their needs and really just being there for just the basics, doing client reviews, doing client appreciation events, really doing a lot more things for their customer to really strengthen that relationship with them. I believe, you know, delayed rewards had to do with a lot of advisors going to the virtual route, not just doing everything in person nowadays, but they're also looking to venture out and do a lot of things via webinar and social media and starting to pick up clients in different states. So there's a learning curve there too of just how your sales process works, timestamps, what you're doing, who on your team is responsible for what. So it's just sticking to a plan and executing. And so this year we're starting to see it. As you heard earlier, we're up a little over 50% with just those 15 advisors of ours. And a lot of that has to do with just being consistent, sticking to what you're looking to accomplish. And then good things will come as long as you have the right team in place.
When it comes to marketing, Jeremy, how important is knowing your numbers and the data behind it?
I love that question because we've talked about that a lot on this show here. And knowing the numbers, I mentioned some policies. So a lot of advisors, we really started back in 2023, we started to track not necessarily just how much of production that our advisors are doing, and everybody has their own goal. But some of our advisors are very interested in the policies, which is every single individual, the household that they write, and that person ends up becoming an insurance policyholder themselves. So what they look at that as one individual that is now protected when it comes to some of their recommendations. So we started to map out over a year-long time frame, how many policies are you writing? That helps them track their average case size, but most importantly, how many people they need to be in front of in order to generate enough business from those people in order to have a good return on investment of their marketing dollars. So if you don't really have a good blueprint to how much you're spending and how much you're receiving back in order to get in front of the right ideal person, then it's tough to run a business without knowing your numbers. So marketing is very important, but also knowing exactly who your ideal customer is as well too is another real key metric built into it. And I think for, there was a stat actually that same year in 2022, nearly two-thirds of $845 billion in assets that were rolled over from defined compensation plans, those were rolled into IRAs with the assistance of a financial advisor. So there's a lot of money that's in motion across the country. And right now, advisors are really honing in on how do we get in front of the right people with that money in motion, the generational wealth that's being transferred from boomers to Gen X to millennials and so on. How are we able to make sure that our marketing is attracting the right demographic, but also we're not alienating the younger generation too? So knowing your numbers is important, but also making sure you have multiple ways of marketing yourself is just as important.
Is there anything that stands out to you about your advisors and their marketing?
You know, I got another one for you. There is actually some other statistic that I wanted to talk about here. Something that did stand out is there was a Y chart. I was actually at a some event here within our Simplicity family earlier last month. And in this Y charts article, it said that in 2023, 54% of clients who were already working with a human financial advisor said that they switched their advisors in 2023. And in that same report, they said an additional 12% left a robo-advisor for a human advisor. So what does that tell us? Last year, although coming off 2022, a lot of market volatility, interest rates, inflation, a lot of people looking other directions for maybe some financial guidance, we found that a lot of advisors have started to go more towards that human-centric type of messaging to customers. So therefore, doing more client appreciation events, making sure that they're elaborating their resources for their customers to let them know that they're there, upping their communication, so leveraging technology, a lot of video marketing, a lot of emails that are constantly dripping on your customers so they're up to speed on what's going on. So last year taught our advisors that, look, people are out there, their eyeballs are going different places nowadays. They're looking at different outlets in order to get information. I know one interesting study that was recently put together was, there's actually, I don't know, I didn't talk to you about this. Did you happen to hear about there was a podcast a couple weeks back that went live with Joe Rogan? He's got one of the top podcasts in the country, and Tucker Carlson recently fired from Fox.
I heard something. I probably read a headline about it, but I don't remember it completely now.
Yeah. So they did a episode together, and one thing that was a there was a lot of topics on there for conversation different day, but the one topic for sure that I thought was very eye-opening is they talked a lot about mainstream media and how over the years, just the ratings and people looking to gather information, those eyeballs, like I mentioned earlier, are shifting to a different dynamic. And they really started talking up how big podcasting, although both of them, they didn't really understand, you know, 10 years ago, what podcasting could possibly be and what it was. They talked actually, Joe, who has over 10 million people that actually subscribe and listen to each one of his episodes, he talks about how he started and most importantly, how over the time and evolution, it's just become more convenient for people to retain information, but not just retain information, but it's on their time. So therefore, advisors have started to take that same approach of taking a step back from their business, making sure that they have the right form of marketing for not just the right demographic. So your baby boomers, your younger generation, Gen Xers, millennials, these individuals, the younger ones are looking for information on social media or podcasts and different outlets as opposed to the TV. So therefore, the advisors are having to adjust some of their strategies when it comes to marketing, hiring someone younger to help out with innovating and using some of that technology, or listening to groups like ours and helping with the guidance for what's the best way to have the right message to those type of younger demographics, but also still running parallels with what they're currently doing and not going out of business and spending too much money too. So yeah, that's something that does stand out to us.
Well, let's jump back to that Y Charts article too. 54% of clients changed advisors. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. The people that, so out of the individuals that they surveyed, it's crazy. It's over. And what that really actually, if you're an advisor and you read something like that, there's such a huge mm-hmm. opportunity. And the first thing you probably think about is, man, I need to get out and market to all these new people and get in front of as many people as possible, which is true. But you also have to remember the main thing that stands out is 54% of those people left. Therefore, you got to make sure you have the right communication so you don't just bring people in and lose people out the back door. Right. So it's finding the balance amongst putting the right time and effort in for marketing, creating the right habits. So knowing when you do your video recordings, when you have appointments set up for your current clients, when is the allow time for new prospects to get on the calendar. So really just running your business more efficiently. And I think just not losing sight of a huge opportunity, a lot of people looking for some possibly second opinions on their financial plan, but really hone in on that relationship with your current client because you don't want them to be part of that 54%.
And that also rolls into the new idea of a podcast. I mean, this allows you to introduce yourself to new people, but it also helps you talk directly to your current people.
Correct. Yeah. And what we said too, leveraging time, because as you know, a lot of the advisors, some of my own advisors now using this platform too with you guys, it's just helping them. They get an opportunity to educate their customer, talk about what's going on. And instead of having the same conversation that week or the next 2 weeks with 5 to 10 to 15 mm-hmm. of their own clients, it's one message and then it's one outlet that they're receiving that info from. And it's saving them a lot of time. Therefore, they can spend more of their time being efficient, doing videos, doing some more personal touches with their current clients, and really having an opportunity to free up their calendar to have family time, but also to see what they'd like to do to attract those 54% of people out there that are looking for other advisors.
I think you've hit on most of them, but is there anything, any habit among your most successful advisors that we haven't touched on? I mean, there was enhancing the client experience, leveraging technology, information. Was there something else?
Also, I would say really from the top producers that we work with, I would say every one of them in our top five every year here at InsureMark, it's always, those are the ones that are always in the front of the room at our meetings. They're always at the first table. They're literally sitting right there with the big notepad, or some guys nowadays with technology, their laptops, iPads, and they're taking notes. They are hungry for knowledge because all they're looking for in every single one of our big events that we may do, some type of training for advisors where we put an advisor on stage sharing best practices so other advisors can get some notes. But if they can just walk away from any meetings or any of our webinars or any of our monthly mastermind calls that we do, if they can just leave that meeting with one idea, the best advisors we find are just great marketers. So counterintuitive to where your best financial advisor, you would assume, is the one that obviously he knows what he's doing when it comes to doing recommendations for the customer. But the ones that really can stand out, especially nowadays, is a good marketer. And so if they get one good idea and then they can run with it and now take one piece of idea, put that into a virtual webinar. They do a webinar and it goes out to 15 to 17 different states to attract new prospects outside of their usual home of their demographic. It's incredible just to try to stand out. So always hungry for knowledge. That's something that does stand out. They're constantly waking up early. I can tell you that every one of my, I think every one of, well, out of the 15, I don't want to call anybody out. pretty sure all 15 of them, they're all pretty early risers. So they're at least up and at it by 5 a.m. and wherever they're at, East Coast, Central, or West Coast. And they're just hungry to get better because they know the opportunity in our industry right now has never been as well. Our products are positioned really competitively with the interest rate environment we're in. The housing market, though, is tough. I know me and you were talking about that earlier. So yeah, my wife and I, so we're currently in the process right now. We're looking for a home. So it's tough. It is brutal here in Houston, especially. So I'm talking, it's a buyer or it's a seller's market. Prices today for what you can get where 2 years ago, the square footage of that home is probably up anywhere from 40 to 50%, at least in the areas that we're looking at. Insane. And so with that said, though, we will see homes that go onto the market and within, it can go on the market. And within that day, if not the same, within 2 to 3 hours, that home is possibly getting an offer from somewhere. So not even able to go see it. And now the person who currently owns that home, so possibly a baby boomer who maybe has lived in that home for the last 20, 30, 40 years, they are now in a great position because where rates are, or not rates, but where the housing market is very high. So they can get a lot for their home. They can actually control when their open houses. So we've come across this twice now. It would be a Thursday at like 10 or a Thursday at 12 o'clock Central Standard Time to 2 is an open house. Oh. So me and my wife, so during the lunch break, I was like, okay, we're going to go check out this house and we'll see what it is. This was the day before the open house when this house came on the market. We show up right at about 12:05. There's a sign on the door. And that sign on the door says that open house has been closed, offers already in. It's like, are you kidding me right now?
Holy cow.
So
made unseen.
It's tough. Well, a lot of people don't, I mean, we live in Texas too. So full disclaimer. So a lot of people from other states are moving in to us as well too. But I think it's not just people outside. It's a lot of people are looking for new things. So reason I'm bringing up real estate is it's fascinating because it's a seller's market there. In our world, it's a very competitive market for us because where interest rates may be high in the real estate market, it's actually very favorable for some of the solutions that our advisors offer when it comes to these annuities. And I mean, I'll probably get an expert on to talk a little bit more about real estate, but it's interesting when you really take a step back and you see that some of the advisors, you know, demand's there. People are looking for, if it's not a home, they're looking for an opportunity to refinance their retirement plan, or they're looking for something. So just a lot of opportunity when it comes to marketing for advisors.
Well, Jeremy, why and how are advisors marketing to the Gen Xers?
There they are. Yeah, so they're doing a lot of things. I talked about, I think it was like episode probably 30-something, 38. We talked about the generational wealth transfer that's taking place up until 2045, quoted a Cirelli report. I came across a similar report back in December of 2023, and in that report, it talks about $53 trillion, according to the wealth management group, Cirelli Associates. They talked about that amount of wealth that's going to be transferred here over the next 21 years. So for Gen Xers, huge opportunity where they're going to inherit some assets, possibly from family members. Also, Gen Xers nowadays, where advisors have traditionally been marketing for annuity products and also insurance, people that want to take a little risk off the table, usually was the baby boomer generation and above. A lot of our producers now are really marketing to Gen Xers, people in their 40s, 50s. The oldest Gen Xer, I believe, is 61 this year. So, is 59 this year. And then the average age of retirement. So the average age that people usually retire is 61 years old. So therefore, anybody from 44 years old to 59 is considered a Gen Xer. And not only are they going to inherit possibly a lot of good wealth or these homes that their parents maybe have had for years and a good asset to inherit, we found that Gen Xers are savers. Mm. What do you know about, well, not necessarily savers, sorry, let me take that back. They don't save well, but there's a reason for that. What do you think the reason would be for a Gen Xer when it comes to a reason why they haven't been able to save as well as what they probably could have as like a baby boomer or even the younger generations?
They've been the dot-com bubble for one thing. Recession, coronavirus, they've seen, I mean, yeah. Goodness gracious, we've seen it, but they've seen it too. And they were coming up. We were for the most part in it, maybe semi-established, but they're just coming up when those things hit.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, I'm a millennial, not your normal millennial, but I am. But I think for the Gen Xer, something where they've seen a lot of volatility in the market, they are in a spot in their lives where they possibly have an aging parent. They also have kids that are going through college. So there's a lot of responsibility for that type of generation. And what they really don't want to do is they would love to save more if they can, but most importantly, they want to make sure that those around them are being taken care of. But the fear is market. So, I mean, it's really just, they've seen three different very volatile timeframes in the last 20 plus years. So they are hungry for some of the services and the solutions that our advisors utilize. So I've seen a lot of our advisors starting to recommend some annuities and some safe products for these younger people. And that's where a lot of advisors we speak to that don't currently work with us, they're very slow to that party. So it's something where it's a great opportunity to get out ahead of this as more and more people start to embrace social media, because that's where these people are. They're not going necessarily listening to the radio, watching TV. They're on YouTube. They're on social media, Facebook. They're constantly out there looking for information in bite size because of what they're used to right now, taking care of possibly aging parents, kids in college, working. So therefore, they want content provided to them when they're ready for it, not having to be told where to go for it. So advisors that are starting to really grab on to doing podcasts, enhancing their marketing on their website, embracing, they want to make sure as a Gen Xer, they want to be aligned to the values, and also they want to be the right fit for that advisor. So it's very important as an advisor to be able to articulate your story. So videos has become huge for those that are trying to attract a younger audience. Instead of a lengthy email or just sending them to your website, have a 2-3 minute video. It's usually what we help our advisors with, just having a very precise message of who you are, a little bit about your team, how long you've been in business, and just really having a good vision of where your story begins, because Gen Xers really resonate well with video and in your story.
Are your advisors dealing with the same demographics in their own families, many of them? Do they have Gen Xers in their families?
I'm all over the place for me, because I have a lot of advisors who are possibly 60 and 70. Right. So, you know, their kids may be close. A lot of them typically have millennials. Right. Some do have some Gen Xers. One of my advisors comes to mind. What's your question about that?
They find it easy to relate to that group?
So for at least the person that comes to mind right now, the answer is no. and the reason it's a no, it's tough because the way that they're used to having things done for them a certain way. It's just the tech part. It's really technology. Technology is so challenging for a lot of people. God bless the ones that are in there, the baby boomers that have adjusted, adapted to it, and they're leveraging it so they can actually be pretty efficient. But some people just said, you know what? That's not for me. They hired somebody else. So I think that's one of the main things advisors who have maybe even their own children that are Gen Xers, it's tough to teach them anything when it comes to where they should be. It's easier for them to teach them what got them to where they are, which is very successful and it works, but you might find yourself in a predicament to where in the next 2, 3, 4 years, all of a sudden these Gen Xers are now in retirement age and you're supposed to now have a communication process to them. But your marketing plan has always been, I'm going to be on radio or I'm going to be on, I mean, some do TV, but I'm going to do workshops constantly in person. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it. It's a good process. But for the person that's in their 40s and they have another 15 to 20 years in their business, and we have all this generational wealth that's going to be transferred to the younger generation, it's okay to start stepping out of your comfort zone, partner with good teammates, and put together a process to get in front of the right audience at the right time. So I'm just trying to think it out loud for that particular advisor. And his, if I could imagine him doing one of these podcasts, it would probably take us a solid 2 weeks to get him comfortable with just opening the lens.
So, but this all goes back to your top advisors, so, how they're always learning. They're constantly learning.
Yeah. And embracing change. Yeah. I mean, always embracing change. So that's where... Yeah, it's a whole other conversation. But yeah, constantly learning, constantly embracing change, habits, being willing to change, but really just technology, just having the right people on your team to where if it's not you, somebody else on your team can take care of that front, or at least you're partnered with the right group that's going to help you get there. A lot of what you guys do at Proudmouth, I mean, especially when it comes to podcasting, social media, some advisors can go hire somebody or they can just hire your team. So you guys have been great for those advisors that finally took them about 2 years, some, not just one, but a couple of advisors. It took them a little time, but eventually the message finally sinks in of, you know what, this isn't going anywhere. I might as well just hire somebody. Or I might as well hire you guys instead of continuing to find some younger person to maybe bring in house.
Lots of good stuff there, Jeremy. Is there anything we've missed that you wanted to touch on?
One final message would be, we love some of the feedback. It's been awesome as the episodes, if you're still with us on this one, we've been getting some good feedback. Thanks to those that are listening. We actually had a pretty cool thing happen earlier this week. One of the groups, you see the book over our shoulder. It's cool to see full circle. I was on LinkedIn earlier this week and, here we were. I was actually just checking out my timeline and I follow this group, and this group actually reposted one of our videos. And this is a typical group that really markets to entrepreneurs, has a lot of people that really lean on them for some guidance of some best practices. So it's pretty cool to see our show continue to evolve. We have some great guests that are going to be coming up. So hopefully, thank you to the listener for checking us out. Hopefully, you've already subscribed to us, but we have some really exciting episodes coming up. So stay tuned for that. They can go to our website. Actually, insuremarkamp.com/Jeremy is my direct website. If you go to advisormentorship.com, you can always just click on Jeremy Hauser. But yeah, reach out to us. Feel free to follow us on LinkedIn at Jeremy Hauser in our YouTube
channel.
Follow
the podcast, share with others. I'm Patrice Sikora, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the InsureMark Advisor Mentorship Podcast with Vice President Jeremy Hauser. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available and connect with Jeremy on LinkedIn to stay up to date. If you would like to request our introduction kit, feel free to check out www.advisormentorship.com and click on Learn More. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of InsureMark. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. Thank you for listening to the InsureMark, the Advisor Mentorship Podcast with InsureMark Vice President Jeremy Hauser.